Thank you, praise team. You may be seated. That's something that we should experience in church from time to time. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes we forget, you know, that the Lord is in a class by himself. If somebody agrees, you can say amen. That's right. There's only one word, one thing that comes to mind. There's only one word to describe him. And I want to talk about the glory of the Lord here this morning. Amen. I want you to lift up your hands and let us pray. Let's invite him in. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, let your glory fill our hearts here this morning. The weight of your glory, let it fall upon us. Give us an understanding, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Receive all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Yes, you can put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, there are two parts to this message, and I am going to try to do the best I can. One part I struggled with, I couldn't do it. The part that I struggled with is, the title of the message, first of all, the Lord said, is it for my glory, said the Lord. So he asked that question. He asked it to me, and I asked it to myself, you know, and I'm going to ask it to the church today. You know, is it for my glory, saith the Lord. And while I was on the subject, I said, well, let me try to define glory. And that was the part that I struggled with. How do you define the glory of God? I mean, there's a song I like, you know, it's another language. And so some of you may not understand it, but it's in my natural language. It's called the Yoruba language. And that song talks about how God, you know, redefines glory. Hallelujah, somebody. How he elevates glory from glory to glory. Well, let me stop right there and say, look, God cannot get any more glory. Because he is the very, now glory is not a part of God. Glory is the very essence of God. Can somebody say amen? And we're going to look at the scriptures, you know, today, just some few scriptures. And I'm going to really go to the part that I want to preach to us today. This is the part that I struggle with, is how do you define the glory of God? You know, because he is glory personified. I mean, you can't add to him. You can't take away, although the devil and people have been trying to take away from the Lord forever, you know. And so I've been praying that God will help us to understand this message. Amen? Amen. So let's start here in the book of Isaiah chapter 6. And here's the part that we try to say, well, you know, this is the best definition I can give of his glory. And it's not, when we talk about the glory of God, everybody right now may be thinking, you know, that physical presence that comes in, the glory cloud, you know, the brilliance and all of that that comes in occasionally that God makes himself manifest to see. Well, that's his manifested glory. He may show it and he may not show it, but whether you see it or not, it's there all the time. Amen. Can somebody say amen to that? In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, here is what Isaiah saw. In the year that King Uzziah, verse 1, died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, and they had six wings. With twain they covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another. Now, these are the seraphims. I mean, they've been around the Lord forever. And so they cried. And see how they're going to describe it in verse 3. And they cried one to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy." Everybody say that with me. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of his glory." Amen. Now, you would say that they are talking about holy. So I would expect the next verse to say, "The whole earth is full of his holiness." That's what I would expect it to say. Because that's what they are talking about. Holy, holy, holy. And now they drop down and say, "The whole earth is full of his." I was expecting holiness there. But they said, "Glory." And I said, well, there's only one way that you can interpret that. The very essence of God, which is holiness, is also his glory. Amen. There's no other way to do it. That's why the Bible says there is none holy as the Lord. You can't do it. Now, we should aspire to do it, because Jesus said, "Be ye therefore holy as your Father is holy. Be ye therefore perfect as he is." But I tell you something. There is none like him. Amen. Praise the Lord. And after you experience something like Isaiah experienced here, the next thing Isaiah said is, "Woe is unto me. Woe is me. For I am undone. I'm finished. I'm a man of unclean lips." He was a prophet. "I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Why? I mean, all of a sudden, everything inside of Isaiah became so unclean at the presence of the Lord and at the glory of God. Now, this is what happens when the real glory of God falls. That's what happens when the real presence of God falls. Is all of a sudden, you see yourself as filthy rags. That's right. And if you ever thought you'd be in the presence of the Lord, and you came out bragging that you'd be in the presence of the Lord, and you were not in the presence of the Lord. When you are in the presence of the Lord, all you will see about yourself, see the beauty of his glory, reveals the dirt that is in our lives. Can somebody say amen? That's right. Somebody once said that, look, there's dust in the air when you shake things up and so forth, but you may not see. But when you open the windows and you let the rays of the sun come in, how many of you know that all of a sudden you see that dust? Yeah. But the dust was there. You didn't see it, but the glory of that sunshine, the light of that sunshine, when it falls upon that, then you see how dirty the place had always been. Are you with me, folks? When you experience that glory, you'll see how inadequate, how insufficient, how nothing you are. Praise the Lord. But God does not reveal his glory to make us feel like nothing. He reveals his glory because that's who he is. Praise the Lord. You know, that's just who he is. Now, that's about all, because this is the part I struggle with. This is about all I'm going to say about trying to define his glory, because I can't do it. I can't, you know, how do you define beauty? You know, I mean, if I want to describe this object, this phone, this Bible, any of the physical objects here, I can describe them. Maybe I can say the shape that they are and what the color they take and so forth and what they look like. But how do you define the perfection of beauty? The Bible says, out of Zion, God, the perfection of beauty, has shined. How do you define his very essence? How do you define the glory of God? Well, we really can't. Because any words and any superlatives that we may have, like higher than the highest, he's still higher than that, higher than his highest. If you say he's the most glorious, he's still more glorious than that most glorious. I mean, you really can't put a limit to him. Can somebody say amen? I mean, he is so great, you know, that words cannot even describe him. Yet, you know, the Lord is okay with us trying to, you know, describe him in our small words, a few words that we have. But that's the best we can do. But I want to drop down into the second part of this message, which is really the one that we want to challenge ourselves with today. And I'm going to drop down into this part. Let me read Isaiah chapter 61. And I'm going to read the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Somebody say amen. The opening of the prison to them that are bound and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the year of vengeance of our God and so forth. Comfort all that mourn. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of the praise, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, ministers often, including myself, I love these verses, because I use it to psych up myself, you know, and I love it. And if I want to really preach a deliverance kind message, you might hear me come out with a message from this chapter. But we often leave out the last part of this thing, which I left out just now, just to see if you guys are paying attention. The last part of this thing is all these things that I just said, you know, giving people beauty for ashes, giving them the oil of joy to replace their mourning, giving them the garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness, healing the blind, you know, and so forth, preaching gospel to the sick, to the poor, and doing all this is breaking people out of bondage and all of that, you know, making them trees of righteousness and making them the planting of the Lord. It is all that he might be glorified. Amen. That's right. That's the last part. That he might be glorified. That's all. That's the reason. And if we forget that's the purpose, then all of a sudden, sometimes, you know, people are just doing things and carrying on and so forth. And we forget. Now, I'm going to say some things that may shock you here. But, you know, the main purpose in our lives and as a church of God and so forth, you know, is not about winning souls, which that's great. And remember our 2020 vision. It's not about all of that and so forth. It's that he might be glorified. That's the main thing. You know, he must be glorified. We must whatsoever, and I'm going to jump ahead of myself here. You know, I may not give these scriptures in order. And as I remember them, as I'm speaking, I'll just jump ahead to them. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. If you want to put that up for me. You know, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Somebody's not paying attention back there. They're showing 3 John chapter 1. Okay, so I better read it for myself. If you help me put it up, it saves time and we can move faster. But if you don't, then I have to read it for myself. Therefore, whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. So you need to stop and ask yourself, is it for the glory of God? You know, even in eating and drinking, if you are surfeiting and eating and overeating and over drinking, is it for the glory of God? Ask yourself that question. Even eating, something as simple as eating that people think, well, I just eat food or whatever. Is it for the glory of God? How can it be for the glory of God then? You know, whatever therefore you do, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever. Now, I want the whole church to read that verse with me. Let's read it together. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Amen. So, it is about the glory of God. And I'm going to share with us quickly some scriptures that show us this glory of God and how God puts it together. Before I do that, let me read one more verse to us in Romans 11 and verse 36. This one talks about, you know, everything is for him, through him, and unto him. Amen. For of him, and through him, and to him, are all things. To whom be what? Glory forever. It's all about the glory of God, folks. From Genesis to Revelation. It's not even about the church. It's not about the elect. It's not about the bride. You know, people make all kinds of isms out of this, oh, the church, the elect, the bride, and all of this thing. No, it is about the glory of God. Hallelujah. In Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 8. I am the Lord, and that is my name. And my glory will I not share with another or give to another, neither give my praise. That's Isaiah chapter 42. Somebody's not paying attention back there. Isaiah 42 and verse 8. I will not give my glory to another, neither my praise to graven images. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, that's what the Lord said. And let's look at some, what is this about his glory that he's talking about? Now, if you don't know the Lord at all, you've not given your life to Christ. This may sound like a strange message, but this is even more for those who say they are believers. I mean, what is the purpose of your life? Is it in alignment with the glory of God? What is the purpose of things that you do? And I'm not even talking about the ministry and so forth. Is it for the glory of God? Now, let's look at Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 7. I want to do this very quickly. Isaiah 43, verse 7. I want to look at some of the scriptures where God proclaims the reason why he does things for himself. So, Isaiah 43 and verse 7, he says, everyone that is called by my name, that's believers, you guys who are here, you know, I have created him for my glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God created you for his glory. See? And so your life must align with his glory. Now, you're not for anything else. Not for us to just be doing our things. Well, yeah, that's fine when we were in the world, when we didn't know what God wanted of our lives. But when we come to the Lord, you know, this is what the Bible expects of us. Created for his glory. In the book of Psalms 19 and verse 1, the heavens declare his glory. And the firmament, they even show his handiwork. Can somebody say amen? That's right. Even the heavens are not enough. They're not even enough to declare the glory of God. You know, because you can't confine even God. The heaven of heavens is not big enough to contain him. You know, and so forth. Neither can, so he can't contain me in a building like this. You know, people think that, oh God, you know, building and all that. You know, that's just a place of worship for us. You can't contain God in a place like that. Seeing that his hands have made all these things, you know, you can't really put him in a box. Now, let's look at the book of Isaiah, chapter 63. I'm going to read a few verses there, verses 7, and then I'll jump to verse 11 and 14, just for the sake of time. In verse 7 of Isaiah 63, here's what it says. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord had bestowed on us, and to all his great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he had bestowed on them according to his mercies and according to the multitude of his loving kindness. Verse 11. Now, these people, the verses in between 7 and 11 talk about how they rebelled against him and so forth like that, and they didn't keep his word. And then he remembered the days of old, verse 11, Moses and his present people and so forth. He's saying, where is he that brought them out of the sea, you know, with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his spirit upon him? Verse 12. That led them by the right hand of Moses, you know, with his glorious arm, dividing the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. See, that's the reason he did it. All those things he did with Pharaoh and all that stuff was to make himself an everlasting name. He led them through the deep, verse 13. You know, and as a horse in the wilderness that they should not stumble, and as a beast goeth down into the valley, the spirit of the Lord caused him to rest. And so he did lead his people again to make himself a glorious name. Now, twice he has said it in about four verses. Once he said to make himself an everlasting name. Another one, he said, to make himself a glorious name. And you'll see this thing also quoted again in Daniel chapter 9, verse 15. But I'm not going there. Daniel also was referring to this. In that place, he talks about, you know, you can put up the scripture, Daniel 9, 15. In that place, you talk about the Lord making himself a renown. You know, renown. You know, that means he's getting himself fame. That's what it is. That, you know, so if you look at it, it says, thou hast gotten thee renown as of this day. You know, now, the people of the Lord, sometimes, and ministers and so forth, they're trying to steal God's thunder. You know, it is the Lord that's to get this renown. Amen. It's not anybody else. You know, so, you know, let's all be very, very careful. Now, let me read a few more examples here of the things, how Jesus described the glory of God, you know, and the things that we do. And I'm going to come back to the statement I made before about even witnessing and doing all these things that we believe God has called us to do, but that's not the primary purpose in our lives. It is an essential purpose that we must do because he commanded us to do it. But the primary purpose is what Jesus said, that the hour is coming and now is, that the true worshippers of God will worship God in spirit and in truth. And God is looking for such to worship him. Worship is our primary purpose. Did you know that all of the things that we're doing here on earth right now, the ministries, the wonderful things, the working of miracles and all these glorious things and so forth, you know, that we may do, even raises the dead and all so forth. All of these things, at one point in time, when the Bible says in the book of Revelation 11 and 15, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. And when that time begins to roll in, at that point, at a point in time, when the Lord begins to set up, you know, something different there, at that point in time, there will be no more need for all these things, you know, that we are doing here on earth now. There will be no more need for anybody to be witnessing and winning souls. Amen? It's all over. But one thing that will continue forever is the glory of God and the worship. People will be in his presence forever. Worshiping him. That will never stop, folks. Church, you know, somebody standing up here with a mic like myself, you know, and thinking that they are anything, all of that will pass away. But one thing that will always remain is worship of God. Now, so if you haven't learned how to do that, you know, no matter else what else you are doing, that's good. That's for rewards. You know, all those things are good. They're for rewards. But we must align ourselves with the true purpose of God in our lives. That's the glory of God. Now, let's look at John chapter 11 and verse 40. I won't have time to read the story, but it's the story of Lazarus and so forth and what Jesus said to his sister, Martha. This is John chapter 11 and verse 40. And Jesus had told her that I am the resurrection and the life in earlier verses and so forth. When he said, do you believe this? That he that liveth and believeth in me shall not see death. And she asked that, do you believe this? And she said, yeah. I believe that, you know, my brother will rise again in the resurrection. She wasn't getting the point. So first, then when Jesus said, go bring, you know, roll up the stone and so forth. And he was about to call him forth. And she said unto him, Master, he's already been there 4 days. By now he stinketh. And Jesus said unto her, did I not say unto you that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Now this scripture tells us that this thing that God is about, I mean, that the Lord is about to do here is for the glory of God. Amen? That's right. If you only believe, you will see the glory of God. Now, if we can only change our mindset when we are believing and asking God to do something for us, if we can change our mindset to where we are thinking about the glory of God and not thinking about anything else, the Lord will do much more, many more things for us. Amen? Now, let me even nail it down. So, we want the church to be filled. We want many more people to be here. But is it for my glory, saith the Lord? That's what he asked me. You know. Well, I'm not trying to discourage anybody from not doing it. You know. I mean, I love witnessing just like anybody else. And I love the church to be filled just like anybody else. But is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it for some personal self-edification or self-ego? Or whatever, you know, that we have accomplished anything. We have never accomplished anything. In fact, the Bible says, after you have done all these things, You need to remember that you are unprofitable servants. And you have only done that which was your duty to do. Can somebody say amen? So, whether we want souls to be saved, whether we want somebody to be healed, whether we want the dead to be raised, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Or is it for something else? You know, and, you know, even ministers, sometimes when we talk about revival and so forth, everybody wants revival. Everybody wants the power of God. But I've noticed that when people are talking about revival or wanting the power of God, they're thinking that it is when they preach or when the Lord is using them, that's when the revival is going to come. Well, then is it really for the glory of God? God can use anybody. Amen. Amen, folks. And all you youngsters that are sitting here, we've been praying for you. You know, one of these days, some of you will jump up and begin to prophesy. Amen. Because the Bible says, upon your sons and your daughters, in those days will I pour out of my spirit, saith the Lord. And it's not going to be Pastor Yado or Pastor X or Y that is necessarily preaching here that's going to bring the glory of God. It's going to be the Holy Spirit that's going to do his work. You know, and until we start understanding that, we're just going to be struggling. We'll be struggling with a lot of things, you know, and so forth. And why is it that people pray sometimes and nothing happens? I pray about all kinds of things, but is it really for his glory? Is it really for my glory, said the Lord? You know, I watched something recently on TV. I mean, and it looked like it was all staged. I don't know if it was true or not, but and I believe that people can raise the dead. You know, I believe that. You know. But, it was, you know, it seemed to me like, you know, they were all there waiting for the cameras and everything and so forth. And the pastor was going there and strutting his stuff and so on, you know. And I'm like, well, gee, you know, did you know that in the book of John chapter 7, the disciples of Jesus had to tell him, you know, if you do these things, why don't you show yourself? There's not a man that does these things and doesn't show himself. And Jesus said, what is it with you? My time is not yet. Amen. They kept asking him, show yourself already. You know, and Jesus didn't care about any of that. Why? Because he said, my honor is not from man. And if I seek the honor of man, then that honor is nothing. I have one that honoreth me. Hallelujah, somebody. But if we want to go and pray for the sick, and it's all about cameras, and it's all about this and that and so forth, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? You know, or whatever we want to do, if it's all about the show. You know, I love showmanship just like anybody else. You know, but when it comes to the things of God, you know, I need to withdraw my showmanship and let the Holy Ghost do something. Amen. Because you know, forget all that stuff. That stuff doesn't carry any water with God. You know, is it for my glory, said the Lord. He that honoreth me, glorifieth me. And Jesus made a wonderful promise. He said, you know, if any man serve me, let him follow me. Amen. And where I am, there will my servant be also. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now, that's the real honor that comes, folks. Not the honor. You know, I remember when I was a young man. You know, this was probably in the mid-70s. Maybe I was 24 or 25, you know, something like that. You know, even less. Maybe 21 or 22 or something. You know. And in those days, today, everybody wants to be a pastor. Yeah, well, in those days, everybody, pastor was not good enough. Because the Lord was really moving. The power of God was everywhere. You know. And everybody wanted to be a prophet. And if somebody was a prophet, then you had to become an apostle. So that you can outdo them. Are you still following me, folks? So if somebody jumped up and say, I'm a prophet, well, the other person is going to jump up and say, well, I'm an apostle now. Because apostle is greater than prophet. And it was just a bunch of nonsense. You know, and it was in the house of God. You know. And I remember one time, even here at GMI, I experienced something. In our first building that we were there, some of you were there. You know, one day one man came off the street. You know. And he was going around trying to prophesy to everybody and so forth. You know, and I didn't like that at all. So I called him after the church because I got his number. The church service, and I spoke to him. And I said, well, I'm not cool with that at all. You know, if you have a word of God, you speak it so that others may judge. You know, I don't want you to get somebody in the corner and start make disciple of yourself. You know, I didn't like it. You know, and then he told me, he said, who are you to tell me that? He said, you are just a pastor, but I'm a prophet. True story, folks. You're just a pastor and I'm a prophet, and the prophet is above the pastor. And whatever I say goes. I say, not at my church, guy. I say, you're welcome. I told him this. I said, you're welcome to come. And next time you come, you sit down, just like everybody else, you worship the Lord. But if you carry on this thing, I'm going to have you arrested. I said it, folks. That was the last time he came. I said, if you come to the church again, and you do this kind of thing, I will have you arrested. You know, because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You know, and I told him, I said, and he went on and I said, well, okay, fine, but the buck stops here. You know, if you want all of that, so I had to put him in a place, you know, because Paul said, sometimes, you know, I have to speak like a man. Sometimes you have to answer a fool like a fool, right? Sometimes you don't answer a fool like a fool, so you don't be a fool like him. But sometimes you have to answer a fool like a fool, you know, so that he won't be vain in his own mind. Amen. So I had to tell him that. But what is the point I was trying to make? He said prophet was bigger than pastor. Is prophet really bigger than pastor? Is pastor really bigger than evangelist? These all things are childish. Amen. Paul put it best. If you don't know it, go and read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I don't have time for that right now. It's all part of one body. The head cannot say to the foot, I'm better than you, I have no need of you. Neither can the eye say to the ear, if all were an ear, where were the seeing? If all were this, and where were the hearing? And all that. He put it right there. You can't say that. You know, God has fashioned it all together that they can walk in unison. Amen. Praise the Lord. But folks don't understand that. You know, it's all about, you know, one-upmanship, you know, trying to up the other. You know, one person does something, the other person comes up, try to do something better, and so forth. You know, that's not for his glory. And it's not going to work. Amen. And that's why it hasn't worked. This revival that we've been waiting, I'm not talking about just this church locally, but the body of Christ. We've been waiting for some great thing. Well, it's not exactly working, because people have forgotten that it is all for the glory of God. You know, and everybody wants to outdo somebody else. You know, one time I saw, you know, a man of God, and, you know, to his master, he standard or fall. I don't know. You know, that's his business. But, you know, I mean, it was all about, you know, showing off and so many things and so forth like that. He would even, you know, on stage and so forth, take off his shirt so he can show off his biceps and everything. You know, I'm like, wow, my goodness. You know, and then one day, as if that was not enough, you know, I mean, people carried him on a chair, lifted him up, paraded him around the place, and as if that was not enough, they wrapped him in the Torah. The Torah, folks, and some of you don't know what the Torah is, this is, you know, the writings of Moses. They found all these writings of Moses and wrapped him in it and so forth like that, you know. Well, you know, God put the story of Nebuchadnezzar in the Bible for a reason, you know. And if we were writing the Bible today, maybe such a story would be there as well. Because the end of that fellow wasn't really good, you know. But that's all I can say about that. But we got to learn from things like that, you know, and walk before the Lord in a way that we're looking for his glory. Let me tell you a quick story to close. Here was a man that knew how to bring the glory to God. I may continue this next time because I don't have time to finish it all. This man knew how to bring the glory to God. In the book of Isaiah chapter 37, you've read the story and you've heard me preach about it. But turn with me to Isaiah chapter 37. This is the story of Hezekiah. And when Sennacherib sent to, ridicule them and everything, here's what happened. In Isaiah 37, verse 14, Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it, and he took it to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And Hezekiah prayed. You know, so because this man came and taunted them and said, look, did all the gods of those nations save them? Don't let Hezekiah deceive you that the Lord is going to save you. I mean, hasn't Hezekiah burnt down all the altars and all the high places and so forth? He's not going to save you. I mean, the man said, did you think I came here before the Lord? I mean, without the Lord? The Lord even came here to do this. He said all that. And so Hezekiah said, well, fine. So Hezekiah went and prayed before the Lord. And here's what he said. Verse 15. And Hezekiah prayed unto the Lord, saying, O Lord God of hosts. I love this prayer. The God of Israel, that dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, thou hast made heaven and earth. See, when you approach the Lord with that, and you first of all tell him how great he is. Hallelujah. And you tell him that he's in a class by himself. That you are God alone. And there's nobody that can do anything. You know, and you say, Yahweh, you come and do what only you can do. And when you begin to tell God that I can't do this, but you can do it. And we've seen you do it. Then God will begin to flex his arms. Hallelujah. That's right. The Bible says that his right hand and his holy arm got him the victory. You know. And so he began to say that and say, incline thine ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes and see how the words of this Sennacherib has sent to reproach the living God. He's not talking about reproaching Israel. He said, you are reproaching the living God. He made it God's fight. He made it about God's glory. And he said, of a truth, O Lord, the kings have destroyed all those so-called nations and their gods because they were no gods. But you are the God. And you are the very God. Hallelujah. And he said to them, they cast their gods into the fire and so forth, destroy them. Look at what he said in verse 20. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, save us from his hand. Why? Just so that we don't perish? No, he didn't say save us from his hand that we perish not. Save us from his hand so that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord. Hallelujah. Even thou alone. You can give the Lord a hand clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. And scarcely has he even finished that prayer, the Lord stood up. That's right. If you want to get God to do something, you make it about his glory. You know, but as long as it's about your glory and your own thing and so forth, God said, I will have them in derision. Stand up, everybody, and let's begin to pray. Sori laba handush kerila hosari abalai. Yeri handush karabalu ishenderi makai. Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Whatever it is you want the Lord to do for you, even in the ministry, you know, I mean, in this church, we've prayed and so forth like that. And we've tried, we've labored night and day and so forth. Or was it for my glory, saith the Lord? You know, and all that. You got to take stock. You got to look at it and see if it is for my glory, saith the Lord. You know, the Lord even says, they did labor much, but I blew upon it. You know, did he blow upon it? Was it for his glory? Now, even when you give a testimony, is it for the glory of God? Or is it so that somebody may know that you have faith? Or to know that you know how to pray? Or whatever it is. Whatsoever you do, in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. Amen. If you want to be a soul winner, we need to be soul winners. This is what Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 8. While you're standing in prayer, I want you to look at the scripture. Put it up for me. John 15 and verse 8. This is what John, you know, Jesus said. He said, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. So even soul winning has to be for his glory. This is what makes him to be glorified. If we're doing it for something else, if we're doing it just to fill up this place, then it's not for his glory. But if we're doing it for his glory, because that's what he said, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. Everything that you do, if we want the Lord to heal the sick, is it for his glory? Or is it so we can show that we have power? If we want the Lord to raise the dead, is it for his glory? Or is it so that we can show that we have faith? You know? And whatever we do in word or in deed, even in eating and in drinking, do all to the glory of God. Amen. Before I finish this segment, I am going to pray. And I ask the Lord to do something for me this morning. And I say it to the glory of God. 2 days ago, I woke up from the bed with a very bad limp. And all day, Friday and Saturday, I had a very bad limp. I hurt my leg, one of my big toes, several months ago. But it was healed and I got over there. And it wasn't exactly the same place. And I don't know what happened. And I said to the Lord, I don't want to be limping when I go up on stage today. And I want to give glory to I want to give testimony to the glory of God. And I can tell you that, Lord. And I said, Lord, if by the time I go up on stage, I'm not limping, you know, and I'm walking just fine. My wife will tell you that I was limping. I said, and that's going to be a sign for me to pray for some people. You know, because I said, well, maybe I'll pray for some, maybe I won't. You know, but I said, well, Lord, if I'm not limping, I came into this building today, I was limping. And I said, well, if I'm not limping by the time I go up on stage, then I will pray for some people. Now, God has showed me the sign because I'm not limping. Praise the Lord. And I will pray for some people. So if you want God to do something for you that has lingered, perhaps you didn't really put it in God's glory. You know, maybe and sometimes we get confused because the Bible says whatsoever things we desire, when we pray, believe. Look, and I have faith just as much as the next guy. But a higher grade of faith is what I'm talking about today. When you can put it all for his glory. Hallelujah. And you accept the result, whichever way it is. And in your heart, if you're not thinking of stealing his glory or his thunder or anything, but you're just thinking of it's for his glory, he's more likely to do it for you very quickly. Now, if that's you here today, I'm not going to take very long because we only have a few minutes left. Step out and let me pray. Because I did ask God, I said, if I'm not limping by the time I go up on stage, then that will show me that you want me to pray for somebody. And I'm going to pray for some people today. And anything that has eluded you that you have prayed for, perhaps you were not seeking it for his glory. The question is this. And I'm going to come down here myself and partake of this prayer. Because I myself, I've been praying for the church, for the growth of this church. But I don't know if it was all for his glory. You know, sometimes we say, well, there's only a few people in the church. Well, so what? And we want more people. We know it is the glory of God to have more people. We understand that. But do we really want it for his glory? Or just so we can show that the church has grown? Or how we have done great things? So those of you who are here, myself included, I want you to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord that he will give us an understanding of what it means to look for his glory in everything that we do. And if you are here today, you want God to do something spectacular in your life. It could be your business. It could be whatever. What is the purpose? Is it so that you can testify to the glory of God? When somebody asks you and say, wow, you've done really well, are you going to put in a good word for the Lord? Is that what it is? Or is it just to feel good about it? So let us pray. Father, Lord, I pray this morning, beginning with myself. The work of the ministry that for so many years we have done. And you said, is it for my glory, say the Lord. And I pray and I say, Lord, yes, it is for thy glory. And let it be for thy glory. in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we go out to win souls, let it be for your glory. God, the Bible says, herein is my Father glorified, in that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Father, O Lord, when we pray that the Lord should deliver us from our enemies, is it for your glory? I pray, Lord, in the heart of everybody that is here today, that we will make it about your glory, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we are praying that God should heal a part of our body, whether it is your back, whether it's whatever it is that you are praying for God to heal, is it for my glory, saith the Lord? Yes, Lord, it is for your glory. Let's turn it over to him this morning. And let's say, Lord, have thine own way. Glorify thyself, O Lord, even in this situation, in the name of the Lord Jesus. And be very, very apt to give the glory to God. Don't be like the nine who were healed and went away, and the others, only one person came back. And when we're talking about giving glory to God, it doesn't matter who prayed for you. We don't want to know who prayed for you. We just want to know the Lord healed you. Hallelujah, somebody. I don't care who laid hands on you. We want to know that the Lord healed you. Don't give my name in the testimony. That's not for his glory. Let's give the grace and let's give the glory to Jesus. And whatever it is that you want God to do for you today, is it for your glory or is it for the Lord's glory? Is it because you don't want people to look down on you? Or is it really that the name of the Lord should be glorified? Let's make it about his glory in the name of Jesus. Father, we love you, Lord. We know you are a merciful God and you understand our frame that it is dust. And I thank you, Lord. Forgive our sins, O God, and the indirection of our hearts, where we have directed your glory to ourselves. We repent, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Take glory, Lord. Take glory in everything. Take glory in everything. Take glory in everything. In Jesus' name. In your finances, let it be about the glory of God. Those of you who are students, let it be about the glory of God. It's not just for you to earn that A just to shine for yourself. You are shining for Jesus. The Bible says, by him are all the families in heaven named. Is your name written in the book of life? Are you bearing the name of Jesus? Let it be about Jesus. Let it be about shining for him. Whatsoever you do, even when you are eating, those of you who like to eat too much, is it for the glory of God? Is it? Whatsoever you do, let it be for the glory of God. Father, we thank you. We give you the praise and we give you the glory. And as many of you as have come here today, I pray the Lord give you an understanding of what it means to give glory to God in all things, to make it about his glory. And the Lord, he will begin to bring all those prayers and those your requests to come to pass so that you may give him the glory and so that he may make for himself an everlasting name, so that he may take the renown and so that he may make his name glorious. Give him the praise always. Give him the glory always in your heart. And you are quicker on your way to receiving your miracle in Jesus' name. Lord, do it for everyone that is here. And let them be able to come back and give glory and testimony to your name. In Jesus' name we are prayed. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, somebody. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.